Because he has to speak about some points relating to the mitzvah chinuch of educating children. It happens that in this week's sedra, Parshas Bahaloscha, that's the first of the sources that I printed in Perek Yud Aleph, Psukim Yud through Tesvav, Moshe Rabbeinu complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's not satisfied with how the Jewish people are responding to the situations confronting them. And it's really a significant turning point in the early history of our people here. The Pasuk says in Source 1, I'll read and translate. People can look inside or not look inside. It doesn't matter. The people were crying. They were whining. Earlier we read they complained about what was on the menu. They weren't satisfied with the food options. And they're complaining now, Chazal say, about certain of the laws that relate to family relationships and so on. And Moshe lost his temper. Moshe got upset. And the Pasuk says, Moshe complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Pasuk Yalav. Moshe HaShem, lo mahar yoslav dech, what did I ever do bad to you? That you're punishing me like this, you make me deal with these people and so on, and all these burdens and pasuk your base. Hanochi harises kol hamazet. Did I give birth to them? Are these my children? Did I give birth to them? That you're telling me to carry them around like a nursing mother carries her baby around. This is all in this week's sedra, and they're complaining about food. I haven't got enough food and so on. And therefore, if this is what you're going to do to me, then get me out of here. Right? Get me out of here. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint. So I just printed these psukim because I would recommend if you haven't yet read Rav Soloveitchik Halavrocha. Once gave it a shiur about the importance of chinuch and the relationship that, yes, if you want to be an effective rebbe, an effective mor, an effective teacher, you have to carry the children around like they're your own children. You have to put up with their nonsense. You have to put up with their silly stuff. You're not just there to impart information. Moshe Rabbeinu felt that his job is Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what he's called, Rabbeinu. It means he's to teach Torah. That's what he wanted to do. And they're kvetching about the food, and they're kvetching about this. And Moshe Rabbeinu is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, that's exactly how you have to, like a baby carries, like a mother carries around a nursing baby. This essay was printed in one of the volumes, the first volume of a collection of Rav Soloveitchik. It's writing called Reflections of the Rav. And if you haven't read it, it's not a long essay. You should recommend it reading for everybody. Taking off on these psukim, the job of an effective teacher, and I'm sure you can get it. I imagine you get it online, but I'm sure the school library has it available. Take it 15, 20 minutes out. It's well worth it. Not that Rav Soloveitchik needs my haskama, but that's what I wanted to mention. Okay. I just brought that in because it happens to be in this week's Sedra Parshas Bahalosa. We speak about our involvement in chinuch. So we're involved in chinuch. What exactly is chinuch? How do you translate chinuch? Sometimes it's translated as education. Sometimes it's translated as training. And all these translations are good. But the truth of the matter is, as a Rashi, those who teach Chumash Rashi know that sometimes you have what's called a diktuk Rashi. Those are the Rashi's we skip a lot of times. So. But there's a diktuk Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha and Bereishis Perek Yadal, Pasuk Yadal, the second of the source. This is when there's a war between the five kings and the four kings, and Moshe's Avraham Avinu's nephew Lot gets taken prisoner of war, and he rescues him, and so on. So it says in Source 2, Vayishma Avraham ki nishba achi, vayorek eschan nichov. He rounded up his men. And he went and he chased after, he got involved in the war. We all know he rescued Lot, and so on. So what's chan nichov? So Rashi first says in Source 3, Rashi there in Bereishis Perek Yudal, Pasuk Yudal, it says chan, I'm missing a yud, he says the Eliezer. It's a reference to Eliezer. His servant is trusted, the household director of Eliezer, that's who came with him. But he says, Shechon Chol HaMitzvahs. He was Shechin Chol HaMitzvahs. He was training him to observe mitzvahs. V'hu Loshon, here's what Rashi tells you what the word chinuch means. Hu Loshon Hascholas Kenisos HaAdam Okli L'umnus Shehu Asid Lamod Bo. Rashi gives a definition of chinuch. We throw the word around all the time. But Rashi gives us a definition of the word chinuch. Chinuch means inaugurating or initiating either a person or a vessel into the job or into the role in which he or she or it is going to play. And we find it, for example, he quotes the Pasuk, and I will come back to it. We know from the phrase, Chanukas HaMizbeach. Just read in last week's Sedra in Parshas Naso, Chanukas HaMizbeach, Chanukas HaMishkan. What does it mean, Chanukah? Is it with dedication? But it's all rooted in the same word. Chinuch means making something suitable, putting something into its use that it's now going to be used for the rest of its existence. You can be talking about a mizbeach, you can talk about the clay mishkan, you can talk about any vessel, you can talk about a person. So the job of chinuch really is to make the vessel, in this case the child, at whatever age, boy, girl, doesn't matter, whatever age, suitable for use in the role which he or she is going to play the rest of his life. And so we're in the midst of chinuch, we're involved in making sure that our students are going to be observant Jews to the best that we can, because we're training them, we're putting them into the role in which they're going to play the rest of their lives. So that's really, you cut it down to its basic, that's what Rashi says, the word chinuch means, is there a mitzvah of chinuch? Is that a mitzvah in the Taryak mitzvahs? So it's interesting, the Meshech Chacha makes an interesting comment. There's a pasuk in Parshas Vayera, in the fourth source, Perek Yud Ches. This is right after the angels visit Avram and Sarah and tell them that they're going to have a child, the Yitzchak is going to be born, and so on. And if you remember, the angels leave the house of Avram, they're going to head to Sodom, to destroy Sodom and Amor and the surrounding neighborhoods. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Avram, in Pasuk Yud Ches of Bereishis, Perek Yud Ches, Avram hoyo yeh legoy gadol atzum v'nivrechu vo kol goy haaretz. Avram is going to be a great person, and a great nation is going to stem from him. Why? He tells us right here, people ask, why did God choose Avram Avinu? It tells us in the Torah. Perek Yud Ches Pasuk goes, ki yadaitiv, I know about Avram, lemana sheitzaves bonav es beiso achrov, because he's going to train his children and his household after him, b'shomru derech Hashem, to keep the path, stay on the path of God, la'asot stoko mishpat, to justice and charity and so on. That's the pasuk. It's almost, if we were writing an essay in English or in Hebrew, those would be parentheses, not part of the story. Just say Avram is mentioned, so parenthetically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says why he loves Avram so much. But the Meshech Chacha, Meir Simcha Devinsk, in the early 1900s, writes in the Meshech Chacha on this pasuk, source 5, he says, Hine chinuch mitzvah lebonim b'mitzvah saseh lo nizkar. The mitzvah of chinuch is not really found anywhere in the Chumash, specifically. Yes, it's true, we have limadatem osames b'neichem, he quotes that, but that's Talmud Torah. Is that the exact same thing as chinuch? Not really. Talmud Torah is more specific. But he says, mikoro b'zeh pasuk me'avram avinu, the Meshech Chacha writes, the mitzvah of chinuch is found, rooted in this pasuk here, regarding Avram, shetzivas banav b'ktanam, or b'katnam ala mitzvahs, that he was training his children to observe mitzvahs when they're young. And that pasuk of chanoch l'nar al-pidarko, which we'll see in a moment, that's not in the Torah, that's in Ksuvim, that's in Mishlei. So we're looking for a source in the Torah. So here we have the Meshech Chacha is saying this is the, and various other things, the Midrabanan and so on, but the Avala Iker Mavrom. That's the Iker source of Chinuch. Now notice here what the message of Chinuch is. Go back to the Pasuk Yates in source 4. Lemana Sheitzaves Bonaves Beso Achaves Shomru Derech Hashem Lasos Tzedako Mishpat. That's the essence of Chinuch. If you want to be successful as an educator, you have to keep your eye on the ball. What's the ultimate goal here? Yes, we have to give information, we have a curriculum, and all that. I'm not taking it away. But ultimately, the goal is, in dealing with our Jewish neshamas that are entrusted to us in elementary school, high school, whatever age, the ultimate goal, that's the Meshech Chacha says, this is chinuch, b'shamru derech Hashem, l'asos d'akom mishpat. You put that together with the Rashi, who's telling us that the word chinuch means to in source 3, haschalas knisas ha'adam okli le'umnushu asid lamud. But that's what we want. At the end of the day, okay, let's say I'm teaching Gemara, I'm teaching Chumash, I'm teaching whatever. I want them to know the Gemara, but at the end of the day, it's much more important to me that the, I know the boys' high school, but you know, it doesn't matter, the girls, the same thing. You want them to be B'nai Menos Torah. That's the ultimate goal. At the end of the day, if a person, you know, knows this year in our yeshiva, we learned Baba Basra, so they know Baba Basra, good. But ultimately, you want them to be better Jews, you want them to be better people. V'shomru derech Hashem, laso tzedakah mishpat. But that, you have to keep your eye on that. That's what you're molding. You're not just presenting information. When I teach history, and I learned against history. I was a history major in college, and I taught history in high school for a bunch of years. I enjoy history very much. But my goal is that they should know the history. Okay, but ultimately, teaching the Bnei Kodesh, your goal is that they should improve as people. They should become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a boy or a girl should maybe say brachas with more intent. Even I'm not learning brachas this year. I'm learning a different mesechta. But the child, the young man, the young woman, whatever age, should daven better. Should behave nicely. Should talk more nicely. That's part of the goal. And that's what Shomer Derech Hashem, that's the mitzvah of chinuch. So I think if there's one first lesson I guess I would impart here is to keep your eye on the ball. Remember what the ultimate goal is. We're sometimes wrapped up, and I'm not taking it away from anything. You know, again, we have curriculum, we have to cover certain ground. It's all important, and we, of course, we have to impart information. And they're not going to learn from us, who are they going to learn from? No question. But at the end of the day, v'shamu derech Hashem, we're training them to be for the rest of their lives, like Rashi says, that's the real mitzvah of chinuch, the rest of their lives to be over the Hashem. And I think that that's a very important point to keep, at least in the back of your head, when you're in a classroom. Now the pasuk, of course, that everybody quotes with regards to the chinuch, source 6, is the pasuk of Mishlei Perakov Beis Pasuk Vav, Chanoch Lenar al Pidarko, Gam Kiyazkin Lo Esim Mena. Famous pasuk, train or educate, we translate the word chinuch, mold, shape the child al Pidarko, okay, in accordance with his way. God, that way, that's the first half of the pasuk is more famous, but the second half of the pasuk is gam ki yazkin lo yasir mena, because when he or she, it doesn't matter, grows older, the person won't turn away from it. So it's interesting, lo yasir mimena, will not veer or turn away from it. What's the antecedent to that pronoun? What's the it in the pasuk? Chanoch rapidarko gam ki yazkin lo yasir mimena. So Mitzvah is David, and many Mepharshim explain, okay, Mitzvah 7, Mitzvah is David, and that Pasuk, the Mishrei Perchav Beis Pasuk Bav, Chanoch, Haschel v'hargel asanar b'shon, v'alicha b'vodas Hashem, l'fi derech chochma, so train him at v'vodas Hashem, like we said, according with his ability, or her ability, ima'at v'imharbe, whatever it is, according to the child's ability, so that when he gets older, he won't leave what? Leave that path. In other words, mimena refers back to the chinuch. Train the child when he or she is young, because when he gets older, they won't veer from what? Mimena, from what? From it? From that path along which you have set him. And that's certainly an important interpretation, probably the simplest interpretation. However, unfortunately, I don't have it on the sheets because it's not in the database, but the B'ar, the Vilna Gaon's commentary on the Mishlei, Rashi says a little bit like that when the Pasuk is quoted in Kedushin, Daf Lamed and Aleph, source 8, Al Pidarko, Derech Shekol Yomav Yemisnaheg Bo. You know what the word Mimena? Train or shape, mold the child in accordance with his ability, because he won't veer from that when he gets older. He's not going to veer from that derech, from his style. Okay, I have older children now. What do I mean? I see things in my children, and my children are adults. But I see things that they were like that when they were little. Okay, if you have younger children, you know, they behave a certain way, they react to certain things. They're not going to change. Their personality is not going to change. I mean, of course, it's tweaking. But self called self, a person has a certain personality. What the Pasuk may mean, according to this approach, Rashi and Kedushin and the Vilna Gaon suggests, train the child in accordance with his or her ability, his or her talents, his or her personality, because even when they get old, they're not going to change that way. Okay, a kid who gets very excited about something is an adult excited about something. A kid who is excited about something else, an adult is excited about something else. That's the way human nature is. Okay, all of us have different personalities. All of us have different things that excite us and so on. So find what excites the kid when he's young. Like I'm say he, but I mean she as well. So find what excites the kid when he's young, so that when he gets older, he's excited by it, because that's going to be what excites him. That's going to be his nature. That's his personality. Not everybody, I'm going to say something which in certain circles got me into trouble, okay, but not everybody is meant to be studying the exact same thing. Not everybody is meant to learn. I work in the yeshiva. Can I tell you, I work in the MTA high school, and I give shiurim to smicha students here in Yoredeya. Not everybody is meant to sit and learn Gemara all day. This is a system that we have now, which to my mind is utterly absurd. Okay, because there are many people who are forced into that, and they're not cut out for it. And it was never like that in history. Okay, and different people are excited by different things. So you as a teacher have to figure out what's going to get this kid excited. Can you imagine the Jewish world today without Hatzolah? Okay, without Misaske, without Chaver, without all these things that do all this wonderful chesed, without Bikur Cholam and Tomchei Shabbos. These are major, major elements in our Jewish community today. Guess what? They're not run by people sitting and learning in Kol all day. It's okay, you want some people to sit and learn, but other people can find ways, men and women, to serve and to serve our Kodesh Baruch Hu and to serve the Jewish community in other ways. So figure out what it is that this child, this youngster, and of course, you know, they're not a finished product when they're second grade, not in the 10th grade, but you can see as this interpretation of the Pasuk suggests, what their tendencies are as children, and again, I see it with my own children, we're now adults, and they have their own children. The same, you know, a lot of things are exactly the same. You can see now the way they act, the way they talk, the way they respond to certain things. It's just like when the world was like that. And you probably see with your own children growing up, and you certainly see with your students. So I think that's a very, very important lesson. And we have to recognize that not everybody is identical. And we can't have a cookie-cutter education system. Gemara says in Brachas, Adaf Nun Ches Amun Aleph, it has to do with the bracha, it doesn't matter the text of the bracha, but it says about people, ain't daitam, no source line, ain't daitam domazelazev, ain't partsuvayim domazelazev. We all have different facial features and different physical features. Well, guess what? We also have different emotional and psychological. No two people are the same. So you can't expect two people to respond in the exact same way to anything you teach, because every student everyone is different. Okay, Kodesh Baruch Hu knows. He's the Chacham HaRazim, Rashi says, right? He knows what's in the heart and the mind of every person. Okay, but you have to look and recognize not everybody is exactly the same thing. Okay? There's a Gemara in Pesachim. source number 11, Kuf Yud Gimel Aleph, Rav, and the great Amorah, the first generation Amorah, Rav, in the Gemara all the time. Rav saw, Amalei Rav, La'ivo Bre, he had a son called Ivo, that's his name. Is Imsachim Kuf Yud Gimel Aleph, and you're welcome to keep these sheets, by the way, afterwards, you can write them, do whatever you want. Amalei Rav La'ivo Bre, Tweicha B'cha B'shmaitze V'lo Mistahi Milsa. I tried to teach you and get you excited about Shmaitz, about learning Talmud, about learning Gemara. I said, it's not working. That wasn't where his son's heart was. So, Ta Agmar Chamili Da'amas, so I'm going to train you in other areas. Simple, Rav, the Gedolei Amoraim, recognized about his own son that he wasn't so excited about learning Torah in the way the father was. So he said, and the Gemara goes on to list various things he taught him about business and other things like that. That's okay. That's okay. Of course, you have to be Yirei Shamayim and Shomer Mitzvos, but not everybody's going to be excited and turned on by the same thing. The Sefer Chovos HaLevavos, Shar Gimel Shavuot in Perek Dalet, source number 12, says he has 10 different levels of understanding of people have in terms of Torah. The first one, the lowest one, being somebody who studies Chumash and Mikra and they don't understand the words. Okay, that's one. Ranging to somebody who knows Mishnah and Gemara and Brisa, you have all kinds, he has 10 different levels, and there are probably more than 10. You can't teach everybody the exact same way. Now, we have a problem, because we have X number of kids in a classroom, right? You can't have one-on-one. I mentioned years and years ago, my youngest son is on the autistic spectrum. He went to Kushner. They had the Sinai. They still have it there? Mm-hmm. I live in Teaneck. They have it in Teaneck also. But at that time, it was only in Kushner, so I used to drive him every day to the Kushner Elementary School. Okay, so there they have one-on-one or one-on-three, whatever it is. But most of the time, we can't do it. We have how many in the class? 15, 20, whatever it is. Students in a classroom and so on, so it's harder. But that doesn't relieve us from responsibility. We have to figure out, yeah, in terms of presenting the material, but in terms of influencing the child, what we spoke about before, to be a shomer derech Hashem, that you have to figure out, what is this kid going to be excited about? A number of years ago, we have every year, Baruch Hashem, in MTA, we have every year at the end of the year a siyum. Okay? And some boys, advanced boys, they finish a mesechta, other boys finish. So years ago, when it started, so one of the rebbeim in quote-unquote a lower class, so I wanted his shiur also an opportunity to finish something. So they studied Maseches Horias. So Maseches Horias is the shortest of all the Masechtas in Shas. It's only 7 or 8 pages. Okay, I mean, it's something difficult, but he did whatever he did. Okay, and I'm very honest. When they had the siyum, some boys finished the list Masechta, that Masechta. So we're going to have this boy from that shiur, present the siyum on that. And some of the rebbeim, and wonderful people, but some of the rebbeim said, what are the, you know, it takes away a little bit, you know, they didn't really do that much, like, how can you compare it? And I said, what are you talking about? On that level, this boy, and let me tell you, when this boy got up, we had that see him, he was beaming, and his father was pictures, and because on his level, that's what he was able to accomplish, so why shouldn't we excite those Talmidim? Yeah, it's wonderful, we all want to have the top shit, okay, it's good, and then those kids respond. But here we said Rav himself saw, the Chovetz HaLevavos says it's different. The Sefer Chassidim, Rabbi Yehuda Chassidim, Sefer Chassidim has nothing to do with the Chassidim today, the Chassidic movement. The Sefer Chassidim, the German pietists, you know, in the town of Rishonim in 1200 and so on. So the Sefer Chassidim, Simon Shin Ches, 13, okay? He says you have to figure out what's the, look in the second line there, Chanoch on Arpi Darko, Gam Kiazno is from our Pasuk, Im Tirish Yatzlich B'Mikro V'lo B'Talmud. If you see that this particular student is going to be successful in studying Tanakh and not Talmud, I'll tell you, don't push him away. Don't push him away. Find something that he's excited about. Everybody can find something. I used to tell my Talmidim when I had regular shiurim in the high school, before winter vacation, or Pesach, long breaks, I would say, set aside 5 or 10 minutes a day. Good, you're going to Disney World, good. But before you leave for Disney World, or when you come back to your hotel at night, nobody doesn't have 5 or 10 minutes. Yeah, more is good, but 5 or 10 minutes. Rabbi, what should I read? Said, you all got books, your bar mitzvah, the girls got that. Go to the shelf, take something you're interested in. Not for school. No, don't go over. Never mind for school. Fine, there must be a book in your house. And if you're not, they said, come back to me. No one ever did. Okay, I don't know if they just ignore the whole thing or not. But and they said, you all have books in your house. Go take, but many of them did it. I know, I said, I'm not checking up on you. I'm not testing you. Find something. You can order something. there's something, and today there's such a proliferation of material. Some of the stuff is not always as good as others, but okay, there's so much stuff that's available in English that a student of any age can set aside just a few minutes there and find something that excites him, excites her. That's what the Sefer Hasidim says. It's not going to be Gemara. It's not Gemara for everybody. Again, we're in a system where everybody has to learn Gemara all day. Okay, and maybe not in our circles and in your school, but you know, in the general milieu of the Orthodox world, and I think it's overdone. I think it turns a lot of people off, in my opinion. Okay, even in the very yeshivish circle. That's for discussion, perhaps a different time. This idea that you cannot offer the exact same chinuch, the exact same education to every person, is underscored. We don't have time to read it inside, but if you have the time, you can get it. It's in English. You know, the English was originally written in German. Shem Shofar Hirsch, okay, has a commentary on a pasuk in Parshas Toldos, 14. This is regarding Yaakov and Esav. So it says, Perkhaf Hev Resh Pasuk of Zion, Vayigdalu Hanor, Vayi Esav Isha Deatzayit Isha Dev Yaakov, Ish Tom Yosheb, they were different personalities. Yaakov was more of an inner, he stayed in a tent and so on. And Esav was out in the field, you know, hunter and trapping animals and so on and so forth. So Shem Shofar Hirsch writes, and I wouldn't have the shoulders to say it, but he said it, so I can quote it. And again, you know, it was originally written in German, there's a Hebrew translation in the database, you can get it in the English. If you haven't seen it, again, well worth your while. Look what he says. First of all, he says, begins by saying, the Torah and our Chacham are not hesitant to point out faults. That's the Ramban has his theme also. Sometimes even the great Avos and Imos made mistakes. They're human beings. I think it makes them more relatable. You know, when we're little kids, we hold, you know, let's say George Washington, you know, never told a lie. I have no suits. George Washington probably did tell a lie. You know, but when we want to build somebody up, so we exaggerate. Okay, so Chazal also sometimes exaggerate. But the Torah is honest. Shem Shofar says, we know that even Avsein HaGdolim, sometimes that's greater for Torah and so on. And he basically says that they made a mistake. And they trained Yaakov and Esav with the same type of upbringing, even though they were very, very different personalities, with ultimately disastrous consequences for Esav, and ultimately for us also. That's if Shem Shofar finds fault in the third line of 15 at the end. Lo somu lev lehevdele nitiyo somanis toros. The parents, Yitzhak and Rivka. Were not sensitive to the distinctions in their leanings and their tendencies and so on. And Torah achas v'chinuch echad henikul l'shneim. They tried to give them the same exact training. It didn't work. And the v'shachachu klal, again, I wouldn't have the guts to say this, but v'shachachu says it. V'shachachu klal gadol b'chinuch hanochan al-pidako. They forgot. I mean, the pasuk wasn't written yet, but they forgot the principle. And so on. And Yaakov understood it. He says in the next paragraph, we don't have time to read everything inside, but look over it. Yaakov understood that when he gave his parting brachas, the parting blessings to his children in the end of Parshas Vayechi, so I quoted the pasuk there in 16 in Bereishis Perek Memtes, pasuk Chavches, Kol Eila Shivtei Yisrael Shneim Asor, V'zos Asher Dibel Avavim V'Avrachosom, Ish Asher Kevir Choso Berachosom. The brachas, so some of, I don't know, that's usually in elementary school, I guess they learn Vayechi, but, you know, they have to, one of my daughters had to learn the whole song, but whatever it is, they had each one got his own bracha. Reuven was not the same as Shimon, was not the same as God, not the same as Binyamin. Yaakov understood, that's again what Shem Shofar Hirsch points out. He understood that, and the implication is that had Esav been trained differently, in accordance with his tendencies and his talents, he was not a talentless person. Okay, he was not a, you know, he was someone who had strength and ability. Had his abilities been channeled in the right direction, the world might have been different. A lot of things might have been different. So this is what Shem Shofar Hirsch says. So it's a lesson for us to keep in mind. Not every student is going to be turned on and excited by the same thing. And we try and force the same education cookie cutter on every single person. There's someone who's going to walk away from, like, always, you read as much as I do about the Kohen Eretz and those Shrim people who are leaving from the modern circles and the yeshivish circles and the chassidish circles. It's a big problem. People are leaving. I believe that part of it has to do with, you know, with the education. Not our fault as teachers, but we're trying, in many places, they try to get everybody. I have a relative who is, I don't want to mention any names, but he's a prominent Rosh Shiva. He has his own yeshiva, his own kolo now. He's a young man. Anyway, so he told me when he first came out of yeshiva, his first job was teaching afternoon Seder in some yeshivish place, okay, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Seder. And it was like a Beis or Gimel level shiur. the way he describes it goes, those guys were interested in learning at that time of their day, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, like I'm interested in quantum physics. Mm-hmm. Okay, which was not at all. That was what he said to me. So basically, he asked the Rosh Yeshiva, you know, what Masichta, what Perek, what are we studying? And he said, not that the man said it in so many words, but his basic instructions were, try and keep the boys indoors. You know, make sure nobody gets hurt, and make sure no one breaks anything. Yeah, okay, so the top, quote-unquote, top kids, okay, they want to learn, they want to finish. Yeah, but what about everybody else? Are you going to make them go sit in, a classroom? That's not what they're cut out for at that hour. What are you having them learn Gemara for? Let them go pack boxes with Tom Kesh, the other things you can do. And I think that you can't have the same chinuch for everybody. You write people off that way. Again, it's not my idea. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not an obligation of Talmud Torah for everybody. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichron Lebracha, who was one of my rebbeim, he said he believes everybody, and he spoke by the men and women, have to be exposed to the Torah system, the halachic system, from the inside. Some points of what we call Gemara and learning a sugya inside to see how we come to conclusions and so on, should be taught to everybody. Everyone's chayv in Talmud Torah, and so is 17, according to the Rambam, Perek Aleph Halacha Ches of Hilchos Talmud Torah. Kolish, every person is obligated in Torah, whether you're wealthy or poor, or sick, or healthy. And personal circumstances, 17, personal circumstances, don't exempt you from Talmud Torah. But you have to know, he also said on a different occasion, Lichtenstein said, in many yeshivas, we teach the students just enough Gemara for them to learn to hate it. That was his comment. If you didn't do it that way, okay, there's some kids don't like math. Okay, they go 40 minutes, they take math. You don't hate it, okay, I got to go. But Gemara, sometimes they're forcing it down the kids' throat. There's so many out, they learn to hate it because they're not cut out for it. So we have to figure out how to remedy that situation. And again, everybody has talents. The Morn Shabbos, Taf Kuf Nun Vav, in 18, says, now, the Gemara there is talking about the problematical topic, a person influenced by astrological signs. So I don't go into that, how that works or not. But the Gemara says certain people have tendencies to be bloody. So what do you do with such a person? So different things can happen. Okay, hey, Gavar Ashidom is going to spill blood. What do you do? So Rav Ashi, yeah, he could be a doctor. Doctor also has to spill blood, right? He doesn't have a surgeon, also cuts open, causes blood to spill. Okay, or he could be a ganav and mug people and beat people up and worse. Oh, Tabak could be a butcher. Okay, oh, Mole could be a mole. In other words, what does it mean? Certain tendencies, but you can channel the tendencies in the right direction. And that, again, going back to our goal, our second goal, I think, as teachers, not only keeping an eye on the ball, but we say, figure out what tendencies does this student have that I can help push in the direction of Oros Hashem in accordance with that person, according to that person's tendencies. And then the Torah, so to speak, almost becomes like it's his. The famous pasuk in Tilim, the beginning of Tilim, verse 20, Asher Yishol all about Hashem, keep his pasuk base. Tilim Perak Aleph pasuk base, keep his Soros Hashem Cheftzo. Right, the person has a desire for Torah Hashem. So the Gemara has an important point in about Zoraya Testament Aleph. It's obvious, but we forget about it sometimes. Then 21, Amar Rabbi, Ein Adam Lo Mi Torah El Mimakom Shalibo Chafetz. At the end of the day, a person is going to learn where and from whom his heart desires. That's the bottom line. Because Kimisoros Hashem, Cheftzo, his desire is what he wants. Okay? And the Gemara tells a story over there that so they were learning a certain sefer, and there was a dispute. The one wanted to go on to Tilim, the other wanted to go on to Mishlei. Again, you can read the Gemara. But at the end of the day, again, the language of Pirush Rebbe Barma, Ein Adam Lo Mi Torah Ela Mimakom Shiva Chafetz. Okay, and Levi said, well, you're teaching him on an incident, so you don't want to leave. He didn't want to learn that particular sefer at that point. A person learns only when and where and from whom he wants to learn. Look at 22, Rashi explains, Mimokom Shlibo Chofetz, what is already testimony of Lo Yishana Lo Rabba El Masechah Shemavakesh Hemenu. Teach him a subject that he or she is interested in. Shem Yishana Lo Masechah Acheres. You teach him something else, Ein Miskayemes. It's not going to last, not going to hold on to it, because they're not interested in it. Yes, but you might be excited about, it's not discussion, an advanced life. You can teach a Rav Chaim, a Ktzos of it, and you think it's always wonderful. And a kid is sitting on the blind, it doesn't excite him. That type of analysis doesn't excite him. Again, I believe that everybody has to see, be exposed to it. And I don't think necessarily that, at a young age, what you're excited by, but certain things you can see. And you, the teacher, we have to figure out what excites them, what turns them on in terms of what type of subjects, excite them. All right, and that's what it says here. That's what Rashi says. He wanted to learn this. So that's what you do. Now again, we understand that that's not always feasible in a school structure. You can't just let every student pick what he wants to discuss. But you know, there are times, and again, depends how your classroom is structured, where you can, quote-unquote, go off the subject. Okay, I know that when I was in high school, Rebbe, that they always want to get off the subject, right? Like today, the question, Rabbi, what's the story with abortion? You know, because it was in the news, you know. So what's the story with gun control? Right? So, I mean, they know they're going to get off the subject, and then they have to take notes for a while. That's not on a test. But the truth of the matter is, you construct that in a way that it's off the subject, but it's with the message you want to get across. Okay, that's what you can do. They think they get the better of you, but if they can have animated class discussion about all kinds of stuff, I'm not talking about those subjects. But again, there are things that the kids are interested in. And, you know, again, if it's done right, from time to time you have, let's go ask the rabbi, ask the teacher, ask everything, it's a subject, you can prepare, have a question in advance. And sometimes you can do that as a reward. Okay, I did it all the time in high school. I think on Sundays, the kids weren't so delighted to be in school to begin with on Sundays. So after we finished, I'd say the last 45 minutes or whatever, the last period of the morning, I'll do ask, you know, you got to, but I want it to be serious. You got to give me the questions before, not just something just thought up. They got to prepare. And I found it effective. You may not, but something you can do, yeah.
I don't know if the question is age or kind of stage of development. Will you say, okay, this is a child who's...
So again, it's very hard to say because every child is different. Okay, but certain tendencies, and again, everybody has to be exposed to things from the inside. That was Lichtenstein's point. You have to, and I saw the Rambam, you're not potter in Talmud Torah, classic Talmud Torah. However, how much should you emphasize? How much you emphasize this area? Again, I think I think by junior high already you can tell very often. You can tell. I know, and I'm well aware, you know, having been an administrator for many years, I know you can't just have five kids or, you know, free up. You know, someone once asked me, you know, what happens in Eretz Yisrael? It's a bigger problem today, but in Eretz Yisrael, they leave high school, and then, you know, I had it myself. You know, I remember once walking to a particular, I would go after the year to go visit the MTA graduates from various yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. I remember walking into one particular place, and I was waiting there to meet with the yeshiva, and I was looking, they have a bulletin board by the front entrance, they had a bulletin board. And the bulletin board quotes a Maimer Chazal that says, you know, Chazal tell us that any meal that doesn't have a Dvar Torah is not an appropriate kind of meal. So I'm organizing a brief Dvar Torah, 2-minute Dvar Torah at every meal. If you want to sign up, see so-and-so. And I remember when I said to so-and-so, my jaw dropped. This was a kid, you know, this was the type of kid, I'm sure we'll come across this. This is the type of kid that I just like, you really wanted to nail him, and somehow you couldn't. Whenever there was a problem in the classroom, he was in the middle of it, but you couldn't quite get him. Someone else was. And I said, and now this kid was such a problematical kid. And now he's, I don't know, 4 months later, 6 months later, he's organizing different Torahs. How could it be? What's the magic, you know? Now, today it's a whole different system because, you know, and then because of the cell phone. I mean, when I was in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, okay, that's ancient history, but even when my children were there, there was time, you know, you couldn't reach everybody every moment. You had time to, now, you know, you can reach everybody every second, you know, and I think it's a problem. It does not have the isolation. Not that it's not successful, but it's a different story, perhaps a discussion some other time. But be that as it may, you know, so I asked the Rosh Yeshiva, how did you do it? I felt I'm a fairly decent educator, and the people in our yeshiva also, how do you do it? But he said why? Because they're in the yeshiva, there's no other distraction, nobody else, and there's a Rebbe who sits with the kids all day, and he has the kid over, you know, and plays ball with him in the afternoon, and whatever else, and begins after a while to have, yeah, we don't have that luxury in our current setup. We don't. We're not able to do that kind of intensity. But, you know, back to your question, when you see a kid, if there's something, you can give a kid an assignment. That, and I'm sure you have in the school Chesed project. Some kids will excel at that. You know, I used to laugh when they had in schools, because they didn't have one when I was growing up, so, you know, I'm from a different generation, but they would have color war, and they have color war. So, you know, it's silly, what are we, camp? Yeah, but you know something? Some of the kids I've seen, some of the kids were, you know, all of a sudden this kid's a tremendous artist. Wow. They wrote a very funny and moving song or something, you know. It lets other kids' talents come out. I'm being honest. I made fun of it. I thought it was silly taking away time from learning and from general studies for this. But again, if it's done right, certain kids can shine, and other kids can shine in other areas. That's what we have to find. Even a kid who doesn't shine in the classroom, all right, we have the curriculum, we have to give grades, and we have that system that we're in, fine. But look for something else that can help this child shine, this young, again, at whatever age. But it's a good question. I don't know the exact answer. It's hard to say. All right, so we'll skip down to, I quoted the Maharsha on that, coming up on the Zohar. It's not only, by the way, you want to find it, and it'll segue into the next point I want to make. What kind of teacher? What are the qualifications for a teacher? Okay, because not only, there's some discussion in the Maharsha there, and about the Zohar Daf Yotes, Mimakom Shalibo Chafetz, Bimakom Shalibo Chafetz, it's from someone, it's in a certain place. Okay, so you also want to find someone whom you can learn from. And that, a teacher has to try, and we can't be successful with every student, we know that, but try to connect in some way to every student the best we can. The Pasuk says, tall order, Malachi Parak Beis, Pasuk Zion 25, Ki Sifse Kohen Yishmur Das, Sorry Vach Shifu, Ki Malach Hashem Tzvokosu. They're talking about the Kohen here in his role as a teacher. That's how the Gemara Mor Katan Daf Yud Zion explains it, right? A very strong statement. If the teacher is like a malach, then yivakshu Torah mipiv. Im lav, al yivakshu Torah mipiv. Whoa. Okay, the Gemara is telling us a teacher has to be like an angel. We're not angels, we're human beings. But it means, what are we doing? Okay, we're trying to be role models. We're trying to be role models. And that also you have to keep, I guess that's the third lesson, is to be an effective role model. Okay, children have to see you, the youngster, whatever age, have to see you and have respect. And we live in a society where there's been a breakdown in respect. I'm not commenting about that in general, but we know it. The lack of civility and the whole COVID epidemic only, contributed to that. There's a lack of civility, lack of respect for people who are more knowledgeable and older. Okay, so today, but you have to earn the respect. You have to earn the respect. The Maharal writes, why this is so important, the Maharal in the Yeshiva Solom, Yeshiva Torah Perek Ches in 28, writes, because there is willy-nilly a connection. I mean, this child is in your class, is spending X number of hours with you every day. Okay? Trapped, quote-unquote, in a classroom. More time, at certainly the high school age, than he or she is spending with his or her parents. And even more time, sometimes his or her friends, if he's in school all day, just do the math, do the hours, no matter how long the periods are, whatever they are. Okay, the significant amount of time. So there is willy-nilly a chibur, a connection. Okay, and therefore that has to be honed. But it's important, and this is so basic. The mission Pergabas Paragdal Mishnah Bay says in 29, Rabbi Elezer ben Shemua Omer, Yehi chvod talmidcha chaviv alecha kishalcha, or kishalach. You have to respect the students. That's not something that came up now in the 21st century. You have to respect the students too. If you, quote unquote, write them off, you write them off, they sense it right away. Okay? It's same with parents, but we're not talking about that now. And Rambam brings out Lalocha in Parakev, Hilchas Talmud Torah, Lach Yud Beis. Keshem Shatalminu Chav Michvod Arav, Kach Harav, Tzorach Lechabed is Talmidav, Ulakarvan. You have to respect the student. You have to respect that maybe he or she's not interested in this, but you have to respect them as a person. The most successful Rebbeim, especially with quote-unquote the weaker or less academically inclined students, the most successful are the ones that they feel, and I know this, I mentioned to Rebbe mentioned me earlier, and I spoke once about how there's no question that I became, I think, a better mechanech when my children, as they were growing up, and they came of age of some of my students, and I understood my own children. Okay, and I understood the kids at that age better. Because I was I was a fairly serious student my whole life. Well, I'm not saying I didn't get into trouble, I did. But, I wasn't, nothing terrible. And I didn't understand kids who did all this type of stuff and then cut and then fought and were rude and fresh and so on. Okay, but, when you have your own kids, you see sometimes what angers them, you can key in better to Talmidim. But even without seeing that with your own children, okay, you have to respect them. And I know one of my children also had a very hard time in school, very, very bright. Had various difficulties in school, and the teachers that he has affinity for to this day, he's an adult now, he's an attorney, but our teachers, he felt respected him. Even though he wasn't so matzliach in the learning or chumash or whatever he was, Gemara, whatever he was doing. But they respected him, they talked to him, they treated him as, you can't treat a 10-year-old as an adult, I get that. But you're dealing with high school students. At least they consider themselves adults. You have to treat them. You have to be here. Well, what do you say about this? What's your response to this? And so on. Let them see that you care. There's a very fascinating passage. I printed the Pesukim in Parshas Chukas. Bamidbar Parakha Pesukim Zion Tzvi Gimel. This is the story of Meimariva. We all know what happened. I'll say it outside, right? Moshe was told to speak to the rock. He hits the rock. And as a result of that, he's not going into Eretz Yisrael. Right? And so, Pasuk Yud Beis, right? And that's Mei Meriva. What exactly was the big aver? Those who taught Parshas Chukas may recall there are multiple explanations. What did he do wrong? What was the big aver? And Moshe hit the rock instead of speaking about it. What was the big aver? So all kinds. You know, it turns out he did many things wrong, because you add up all the mafarshim. It turns out he did a lot of things wrong. But whatever it was, the Rambam in Shemana Prokim, Parag Dalet 32, says that the mistake was anger. And actually, one of my daughters, who was a preschool teacher, said this at Sherbrach years ago. She said, you know what the problem was? The problem was, look how Moshe addressed, and that's what the Rambam focused on, but she took it in a different direction I want to share with you. Look at Pasuk Yud, in Perkov Pasuk Yud. Okay, what did he say to the people before he hit the rock? Shimuna hamorim, hamina sela zeno tzila chamayim. Now, you know, in the chinuch world, there's a joke, you know, the teacher's meeting. Shimuna hamorim, you know, they're talking about a particular kid. Shimuna hamorim, listen, teachers. I mean, asela zeh, you think from this rock, you know, referring to here we get any water. But what the pasuk really means is the exact opposite. Shimuna hamorim, morim means rebels, renegades. Okay, listen, you rebels. You think I can get water out of this rock? Now, what's that got to do with Moshe not being able to take the people in Eretz Yisrael? So this is what my daughter suggests. I thought it was a good shot. It's not really in the words of the Rambam. The Rambam talks more about the anger. She said, once you have labeled these people, game over, you can't lead them anymore. Because that is your perception. Moshe lost his right to lead the Jews in Eretz Yisrael because he labeled them renegades and rebels. And once you do that, you can't. Can you imagine this? And again, we're all guilty of it. You know, there's a faculty meeting at the beginning of the year, right? So we're talking now, let's say, a 10th grade teacher has received his or her class list, and the person who had this kid last year said, oh, you have so-and-so? Good luck. Good luck. Right? I mean, we're all guilty of it. But you know something? That kid walks into the classroom with two strikes. We didn't mean it that way, but that's what happened. Maybe the kid turned over, a new leaf. Maybe the kid come into the new year determined, I'm going to be a different kind of student this year. But we're prejudiced in a certain way. You know, and we do it with each other. We have to be careful of that. I'm sorry. I don't mean to. I'm not any less guilty than anybody else. But that's what happened, you know? Right? And the truth is that once you label somebody, oh, this is the dummy class. I will tell you this, okay? Now, I know for reference purposes, you have to refer to the class by the X or Z or A or whatever it is. I get it. And the kids know the hierarchy, too. I know. Believe me, they know. But nonetheless, I always made a point in the yeshiva that I was running, and it's true what I'm saying. We always refer to the class, this is Rabbi so-and-so Shir. Okay, the kids know which is it. They know. I'm not trying to pull wool over anybody's eyes. Okay, they know this is the advanced math class, but this is Mrs. So-and-so, this is Dr. So-and-so's class. It's a subtlety, and I've told parents, you know, well, I want my kid to be, whether they're talking about history or science or math or English or Limud HaKodesh, you know, I want my kid in the highest class. I says, your child successful in this class? Then for him, that's the highest class. What do you care what 20 other kids are doing? What's it got to do? Your child achieving in this class. So for him, this is the highest class. For her, this is the highest class. What's the difference? What, you know, again, it's an idea of avoiding labeling. But that's being a role model means someone the kid can look up to and someone you respect. And of course, you have to have patience. I was outside in the 33, the famous Gemara in Erevin, Daf Nun Daled Amud Beis. Gemara quote talks about Reb Preda had a student who had to hear, the Gemara says, 400 times before he chopped the lesson. Now, even assuming it's an exaggeration, okay, but still 400 times. And one day the teacher didn't show up because he had to go somewhere, Babris or whatever it was, had to be somewhere, and he was waiting. Where's, oh no, who's the Talmud was panicking. Where's, who's going to explain it to me? No, I don't know. Yeah, okay, but obviously this Repreda had a relation. And I imagine Repreda had other things better to do than go over the lesson again and again. But you see from the story not only the patience of the teacher, but the eagerness of the student and the panic that the student felt when, oh, the Rebbe's not here, this, who's going to explain it to me? How am I going to understand it? Well, to some extent, that's, you know, we're in that role. We're in that role as well. Okay, that's a famous Gemara also. I do want to point out something, again, which is close to my heart as somebody, you know, with a child that has special needs and so on. You know, but everybody thinks differently. People think differently. There was a film which I saw, a documentary, which I probably get, and it's worth seeing. You know, maybe it's a little dated because I saw it years ago. It's called Fat City, F-A-T. It was Rashi Tevis or something. I can't remember. Nothing to do. It was not a weight gain situation. Okay, it was basically a teacher with a room full of educators transformed every one of these educators in the room basically into a like into a special needs person because of the way he presented things. A lot of fascinating things. I really recommend it. It's probably available. You know, I recommend it to teachers. Even again, I'm admitting it could be dating. I haven't seen it in a long time. But I remember a couple things. I remember one thing he said was, take writing, now that people don't write in the, people don't write anymore. So I'm dating myself. Everything on the computer, people print it out. But, you know, if you remember, at least when I went to school, on the bulletin board, there was what each letter looked like. There was an ABC, what letter looked like. I'm dating myself also, but okay. Okay, so, you know, the letter, in print, in block, the letter P, okay, and the letter Q, it's just the opposite. It's just where the circle is. And same thing with B and D. How many kids in your Gemara class write Gemara with a Gimel and make it a Zion? Right? Isn't that common? Right? It's the same. Well, it's the same thing. It's just which way you move the letter. Right. So this guy was saying, "Well, of course." All right. He said, "There's nothing else in this child's world that is different depending on when you hold it." Remember, he said, "It's not if I hold it like this, it's a watch. If I turn it this way, it's a ping pong table. If I hold it like this, it's a bookshelf. If I hold it like that, it's a sofa. No, it's always a watch. It's upside down." You know. So he did all these kinds of things. Very, very fascinating. But one thing I remember that stood out, and at the time it brought tears to my eyes because I was probably guilty of it myself. Okay? He was talking about how children process things differently. And he went to one of the teachers and talked very, very fast. And you know, the teacher got mixed up with the answer because he talked so fast. But to some kids, when we speak, that's how it sounds. I'm not talking about special needs even. It was very, very fascinating. One thing he said was, he asked a question, okay? And the question was, the teacher asked the question, who was the first president of the United States? So everybody's hands shoots up. Okay, now except for Billy, okay, in the back. Now Billy has to process the question. Who was, right? It takes some time to process it. So the teacher calls, okay, yeah, Lisa. George Washington. Excellent, okay. And who's the president today? Now Billy just finished processing the first question, didn't even hear the second question because he was processing the first question. Now he raises his hand. He knew George Washington. The teacher calls on him and he says, George Washington. What happened in the class? Everybody laughs. And the teacher, you're trying to make fun of my class, get out. And I remember being, it was such a powerful thing. The kid didn't know what he did wrong, was not trying, he was a class clown, you know. And you know what happens when you label someone a class clown, eventually becomes a class clown, right? And the kid didn't do anything wrong. And again, we have to be sensitive to people processing it differently. And I once heard this from Rav Aaron Konschnitt, who was a Rosh Yeshiva here for many years in YU. He pointed out the following. There's a Gemara in Menachos, Daf Chav Tes in 35. The Gemara says, there were several things that Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not understand till HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him visually. People remember from HaKadosh Azel Lachem Rosh Chodoshim Kazer V'Kadesh, what the moon, what position the moon has to be in for Rosh Chodesh. So it says in the Gemara, in this Gemara, it's in the Rashi, it said the HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show, what do you call it, visual aids. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show Moshe what the sliver of the moon looked like. The menorah from the Mishkan, Moshe didn't understand exactly how to make it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show him. That's the Gemara. Okay, there are a few things. It's always, the common denominator always has the word zeh, Chodesh HaZeh, right? Zeh my seminar. It's in this week's said, Zeh Mivalos, Zeh my seminar. Okay, whatever it says, like we have a minig in many shuls and many people when they do hagba and say v'zos ha-Torah, people point. V'zos, v'zeh always means demonstrative. Okay, why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to have to go through that and certain things he didn't understand? So Khan suggested, I'm saying his name because that's where I heard it from, he said, I don't think he quoted something else, he said, because you want to be an effective teacher, you also have to understand that maybe you're not going to get everything the first time either. Okay, then you'll be more sensitive to the child who didn't get it the first time. If it came so easy to you, what do you mean you don't understand it? Okay, you know, you put this complicated, I remember when I was taking algebra in ninth grade, you put this complicated problem on the board, and it takes the eraser. This cancels this, that cancels that, that cancels that, you know, and you're left with a two. Right, everything cancels everything else out, you know. Okay, but you know, 1 second, let me process it, right? But sometimes we don't recognize that. So Moshe Rabbeinu, to be Rabbeinu to all the Jewish people, he had to understand what it was like not to chop something, not to understand something the very first time. That's what makes an effective role model, an effective teacher. Okay? And then again, sometimes you can get things that kids can do. The Gemara says in Brachas on Dav Zayin, Godol Shimusha Shel Torah Yosem Elibudo. You know, you can have a kid maybe is not the best in learning, but he sets up the room where he can get the stuff ready. Make a macher in other ways. right? Shimusha shel Torah. That's Yeshua was greatness, right? And not only that, but you get sometimes to see the teacher in a different moment. A kid helps the teacher. You have a lot of books to tell you. Do me a favor. Can you help me carry my books to the car? And when you go in the car, you talk about something for a second. You know, I mean, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, so I learned in Yeshivat Har Etzion, Gush Etzion, Rav Lichtenstein, Rav Lichtenstein, Rav was the Rosh Yeshiva at that time. So on Fridays, he used to come in to give a, there was no regular shiur on Fridays, he'd give a shiur on Banal HaTorah. He came every Friday. And then he would drive back to Yerushalayim, either to stay for Shabbos, to stay in Yerushalayim for Shabbos, or to pick up his family and come back to the Yeshiva. So guys who had to go to Yerushalayim used to chop, you know, to go to his car to get a, what they called a tramp in those days, right? A lift to Yerushalayim. So I always tried to go, even if I didn't have to go to Yerushalayim. Sometimes I went to Yerushalayim and I just got a bus and went back to the Yeshiva. Why? Because I wanted an opportunity just to be in the car. I wanted to hear what he talked about, you know, and learning something, but, you know, just to expose. So the truth of the matter is sometimes students are looking for that. They want to talk about things. Find those opportunities also. That makes you a role model. And also, along those lines, that person will keep you in mind at a later time. You never know. The Marsha, by the way, explains in Baruch Atah Zayin Reis, in 38, the Marsha just says, because the things you can learn from the teacher outside the classroom, too. Outside the classroom. That's why schools have, I'm sure you have Shabbatons and Chagigas. It's less formal, right? They can see you in a different light. They can expose themselves to you in a different way. They can be exposed to them in a positive way outside, more relaxed. Again, sometimes a certain teacher can play ball with the kids. Okay, that's good, too. Not really, you know, my age not playing ball with anybody anymore, but the you know, you see him in a different way, schmoozing, relaxed. That's the idea of Shabbatonim, you know, and Chagigas and things like that. But also, it's about keeping their minds alive. We all know the story in Parshas Vayeshev, 39, Parshas Vayeshev with Yosef. Yosef was in the house of Potiphar, and one particular day, everybody left the house. We all know his wife tried to seduce him, and we all know what happened, and she grabbed him by the garments. I have the psukim there in Periklam, and test psukim Yudal from your base. What saved Yosef? Because it says Chazal, the Gemara in Sota, Daflam Rav in Beis 40, says that he was about to give in to this tremendous temptation, you know, and be with her and so on, because there was nobody around. The pasuk goes out, it sets it up beautifully. Nobody was there, everybody was out. Right? He could have gotten away with it, and she wanted it, and he was tempted by it. So what does it say in the Gemara? The Gemara says, Ba'osa Shah 40, Ba'osa Shah, Bosad Yukno Shal Aviv. He saw his father's face. Now, I was wondering, what does that mean? What was the father doing? Like, going like this? don't you do that? Right? Whatever he was doing. But that's what saved him. He had a role model in his mind. And by the way, I quoted in 41, the Medrash in Parshas Vayechi said it was his mother's face. Okay? Whichever it was. Okay? Whichever it was. Maybe it was both. Okay? Sometimes you have a role model that saves you later on. What will my Rebbe, what will my teacher think of me if this happens? What will my parents think of me? Again, I told my parents. But it's the same thing with a Rebbe or a teacher. Right? You be that kind of role model that, you know what, I'm disappointed in you. You're better than that. Right? That's it. And sometimes that's the thing you actually say to a student. You know, instead of ranking him or her out, you say, you know, I had a different impression of you. I know you're better than that. I remember talking with a boy years ago, you know, he you know, in school we have, like all school, we have a dress code, you know. So he was out of dress code, but he would wear these ridiculous outfits. Striped pants with a plaid. He looked like a clown. Now, I wasn't on the book, like, you know. No matter, the weakest student knows the student handbook by heart. That they know. They're very, and they can be medayic, and you know, that they can do no matter what. But okay, but you know, that was no violation. But I remember sitting to him. I said, you know, he wore a ridiculous yarmulke. I said, you know, why are you doing that? You know, you're not a clown, so why would you want to dress that way? And he said, well, you know, kids like, I said, are you sure that they're not laughing at you? Are you sure? Are you sure? Okay, think about it. Slowly but surely, he moved away from it. And he was. The other kids were making fun of him. It was simple as that. You know, they were. And this year, I had a kid who made these funny noises all the time in the most inappropriate times, and I talked to him. I said, you're doing that. Well, everybody laughs. I said, are you sure? You know, think about it. And again, when the high school kids are sophisticated enough to begin to think about things, again, you can be. I would talk with respect, okay? But again, to be that kind of person, you're better than that. You're better than that. The last thing I want to mention, and I think this is so important that I would actually say this at the faculty meetings I ran at the beginning of the year every single year. You have to convey as well the simcha, the joy in learning, and even more important, learning in being a firm, devoted Shomer Shabbos over to Eved Hashem. They have to see that what you represent in terms of your lifestyle is something you're happy with. I would tell teachers at the faculty meeting, you can come to my office anytime. Come to the office, close the door, and tell me that I don't know what I'm doing, the school's a mess, everything's terrible, you know what you're doing, and then rank me out and tell me, and you know, I'll agree with you, I won't agree with you, we can have behind closed doors, whatever you want. But out there, positive only. In front of the kids, there's a great yeshiva, there's a great school, there's a great class. Out there, come into me and tell me I got the crazy kids, whatever you want, we'll work it out. But outside, you got to be positive. Okay, the Pasuk says in the Tochacha, we'll wrap up, Parshas Kisavo, the Varim Perek Chav Ches, the Pasuk says, right, one of the reasons we get all the punishments is not that we didn't serve Hashem, because Tachas Ravadat Hashem Lekecha B'Simcha, we didn't serve Hashem with happiness. That's what Ben Abachi writes over there in Parshas Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Mem Zayin and Dvarim, in the end of Chumash, Parshas Kisavo. He said, Simcha is part of a mitzvah, and the reward for Simcha, the reward for mitzvah is Simcha, to do it with gladness, be happy about it. I say this in my shul also. An observant Jewish home should be the happiest home. If the kids grow up seeing this, fighting this, that's what I need, then they'll throw out the frumkeit too. They'll think that goes together. As someone who's shomer Torah mitzvah should be the happiest person, at least outwardly. I remember hearing Rav Usher Weiss, Shlita, a big posting, most of you probably heard of him, okay, a big posting in Eretz Yisrael. So he said he remembers when he was in yeshiva, okay, he didn't say what yeshiva was, he didn't say what person it was. He said he was in yeshiva, once heard a person speaking, and he spoke in very glorious terms about simcha and simcha shel mitzvah, and we have to be simchas haTorah and chedvas of the shmeitzer, and everything to be simcha, simcha, simcha. And he said he remembered he was 16 or 17, he was thinking to himself, if that man knows so much about simcha, how come we never see him smile? He's always walking around the yeshiva, he's always angry about something. That was the reaction he had to this man. He's talking all about simcha. He seems to be nothing but depressed all the time. Students, we're all human beings. We have bad days. We have trouble. We have issues. We're dealing with all like that. But in front of our students, they got to see that we're proud of what we are and who we are. Okay? The Gemara in Brachos, even the simplest thing. I'll finish up with the Gemara in Brachos, Aftesa Mabeis. Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi La, Le'ula, Ki Ailes Lahasam. Rabbi La said to Ula, he's going to Eretz Yisrael. When you get there, look up my brother, Rav Bruna Achi. Find my brother, Rav Bruna. Send him my regards. Adam Gadolhu. He's a great person. Why? Because he's sameach b'mitzvahs. He's happy when he does mitzvahs. Zim nechada, samach gudol l'tefilah, v'lo pasik chucha mipumu kol yama. One day, he was samach gudol l'tefilah. Samach gudol l'tefilah means right after Kriya Shema in the morning, came to the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Gal Yisrael, he said Shema Nesai right away. And he was so happy about that, he smiled the rest of the day. Don't we all do that? Or maybe did it at sunrise. Okay, we all did it on Shul. I mean, it doesn't seem to be the biggest deal. But, you know, maybe he had a struggle to get up early, whatever it was. And he was happy about performing even a simple mitzvah. The Rambam writes, the end of Hilchos Silka, Hilchos Lulav, Hilchos Silka, Lulav together, Perek Ches Halacha Tezvav. That's the simcha, of the greatest simcha is mitzvahs. You're supposed to enjoy mitzvahs. And you're supposed to enjoy learning the Eglei Tala, Sachar Chavar Rabbi writes famously in his introduction to his work on Hilchos Shabbos, right, if you enjoy mitzvahs, that doesn't make it, well, you're not really doing it for the sake of the mitzvah, you're doing it for the sake of the joy that brings you. No, it's part of the same thing. And therefore, you have to be happy and you have to project positivity to the students. You have to project positivity about your learning and positivity about your lifestyle. Because going back to come full circle, we start with Lishmor Derech Hashem. They have to see that that's a positive lifestyle. And that's what we want. Okay? And there's a lot of things pulling in different directions. I don't have to tell any of you that. They have to see that from you as well. And we have to know that every little bit counts. Okay, the Gemara in Sota, Dav Chesem Beit, we'll finish the last couple of words quickly. Just to wrap up in a minute. Okay, the Gemara in Sota says every coin contributes at the end. You have a lot. You put a little bit in, you have a lot. You influence a child a little bit, a little bit. Eventually, it ends up to be a lot. Okay, and ultimately, the Rambam writes in Chasmur Perek Dalel Lachid Gimel Rov Din HaTorah Ena LaEitzos MiRachok MiGodol HaEitzah LaSaken HaDeyas LaYasher Kol HaMasim. All the mitzvahs of the Torah are designed to make you a better person. At the same time, and with this I end the Mishnah Perek Yovas, we all know it's a song Perek Beis Mishnah Tezayin Lo Alecha Machalig Mor. You can't finish everything. You can't accomplish everything. But Lo Atav Ben Chorin LeBatonim. But you can't ignore it. You can't say, well, because I can't do the whole thing, therefore I don't try anything. So these are some of the things I think we have to keep in mind about, you know, keeping an eye on the ball and recognizing the distinction between students and recognize everybody's the same and being effective role models and being people who project the joy of Torah and a Torah lifestyle. That's what I think can contribute to effective chinuch. Thank you for listening. I'm sorry for a few minutes over.
Thank you.